Father, we praise you and we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you that September, oh God, has arrived and we're nearing toward the racing toward the end of this year. But Lord, we want to start off the service tonight by lifting up that poor man, the second American beheaded by ISIS, Lord, Stephen Sotloff. We lift up his family, his parents, all those that love him. And Lord God, we don't know what else to pray except thy will be done. And Lord, we know that you're going to take care of this. And we pray also for the hot spots all over our nation and all over the world, Lord, just war here and war there. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you manifest your holiness to us, that we sense your presence and that Lord, you touch your people. And Lord, help me to teach this last message, if you will, before we start the book of Joshua. We love you now and we praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen. Turn tonight into the book of Psalms with me. We're going to be in Psalm 46. The next time I'm in the pulpit on a Wednesday night, we're going to be in the book of Joshua, so please be reading ahead. You can read it a couple of times. It's just a great book. But tonight we're going to finish off everything with Psalm 46. Let me read that to you. If I can see my Bible tonight, my eyes are the allergy season or something's here. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea and though the waters roar and be troubled and though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High, God in the midst of her, and shall not be moved, and God will help her, just as at the break of dawn. The nations raged, and the kingdoms were moved, and he uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. One of the greatest psalms in the Bible. Amen. And you know, tonight I want to talk on the subject that God is. God is. You know, I don't know if why this happens to me in my life, but it seems like, as September comes, it's always a time of deep reflection for me personally in my life. And I start thinking about the next year, Lord, if you tarry, where we're going. You know, there's only 118 days left in this year. Doesn't it bless you? It's just nearly over with. And I started thinking about all the moms I talked to. You know, this was their first time to leave their little one at pre-K or whatever, or first grade. And how they returned crying into the house because they left their little one there, you know. And of course, others were rejoicing, but, you know. And I think about, you know, what it's like when I talk to this one mom and dad, how they took their son to college and how they left him in the dorm room and then they had to walk out and the emptiness, you know, because you go home and you're used to having your kiddos there and they're not there. And so there's such a transition going on. This September is a month of transition. And you know, as fall approaches, and I pray that it does cool down, but as it approaches, you know, I always sense the need to, as we should every day, but the need to draw closer to the Lord and remember that God is. That God is everything that we will ever, ever need. Amen? And that is so important. It's so easy to say that. But do you really believe that? Do I really believe that? You know, Psalm 46 actually should go with 47 and 48, okay? Because those are the songs of Zion. So forgive me for omitting those tonight, but I just want to focus on this one psalm, as it speaks of the sufficiency of God and the security of God that we have and the supremacy of our God and Savior. So let's look at it tonight, talking about God is. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. Now, that word, Alamoth, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, I didn't look it up phonetically in the Hebrew tonight, but it literally, the word literally means virgins, okay? So it could be that this is a soprano, female voices or whatever. We're just not really sure what it means. But one thing I do know is that Psalm 46, this was Martin Luther's great Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. That's where he took this from. So let's look beginning at verse 1, where the title of our sermon is right there. God is. And listen to me now. This psalm is just not for the nation of Israel. This psalm is to all people of all time. Amen? So important that you see that. Let me just stop right there. Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever, you know, there's some of you that, you know, I pray with people all the time. I'm getting ready to, for example, start my senior year in college or my senior year in high school and I'm fearful or, you know, I've just left home and I'm attending seminary and I'm away from home for the first time and all my family and all the fears that we have in our life. Or we're going, you know, we don't know, are we going to be able to retire? Are we going to have anything? Fear, fear, fear. Fear can rule if you're not careful. Amen? And so when we look at this tonight, God says, wait, God is. What are you, Lord? God is, and it's personal. He says, God is our refuge, and God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. We live in a time, and, you know, someone was saying to me the other day, he said, Bill, you know, we were listening to your sermons when you were young, you had a lot of humor back then, and you don't have a lot of humor today like you did back then. And I said, well, it's because I'm older, and the older that you get, the more you see the truth of God's word and the truth of this world that we live in. And sometimes it's kind of hard to have a little humor in the pulpit because you know there's you just want to get the word out because you need to hear what God has to say. But it seems like right now that we are living in such a crazy time. There's just chaos everywhere. War is just springing up all over the planet. I mean, if it's not Syria, it's Russia. If it's not Russia, it's Ukraine. If it's not Ukraine, it's Afghanistan. If it's not Afghanistan, it's the Sudan. It's just everywhere. Somalia, so forth. And there's so many hot spots right now. And it's almost like America all is on the brink of just wanting to fight one another. Oh, the wisdom of man, isn't it foolishness? No matter what happens in this world and in our life, listen carefully, those that trust God, I mean trust the Lord, they are safe. Amen. They truly are safe. And the reason I say that is because it says God is our refuge. That word means shelter. It means a fortress. It means a place that will protect us from danger. And you know what? God's refuge, He is our refuge. Can anyone beat God? No. Can anyone penetrate the kingdom of God to destroy it? Oh, no. Listen, God is our refuge. And you say, well, Bill, you know, maybe you are in trouble tonight. Maybe you're going through things you just don't understand. Well, may I tell you that God has provided a shelter for us, and it is Himself. It is God. You know, and I ask myself in my own life and in the life of other people, why is it that so many times we fail to trust God when we're fearful? When things are really happening in circumstances and troubles and so forth. And is it because that maybe we haven't come to a place in our walk, you know, to where we know that God is sufficient? God is truly sufficient in any circumstance. It just says right here, look at it, that God is more present than our troubles. It says a very present help in trouble. You say, well, Bill, you don't understand. I have some big problems. Well, we have a big God. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 60:11, give us help from trouble. Oh, for the help of man is useless. And I say amen to that. Through God we'll do valiantly, for it is he, not us, it's he, God, who shall tread down our enemies. It says that God is our strength. Just not our refuge, but he is our strength. And when we go through fearful situations, when we go through hard times, you know, we say to ourselves, oh, I just don't know if I have the strength to make it. Well, the psalmist has written this in Psalm 18:28, you will light my lamp, the Lord will enlighten my darkness. Here it is. Listen carefully what David says. He says, for by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't. That's strength, isn't it? Lord, that's the kind of strength I need. And that's not my strength. That's supernatural strength. It comes from our God. David goes on to say, he says, oh, as for God, that's our Father, which art in heaven. As for God, his way is perfect. And the word of the Lord is proven. It's tested. It's tried. He is a shield to all who trust in him. The word of God is proven. When we get into the book of Joshua, we'll get over to the end, and Joshua's going to ask a question. He says, has one word of God failed? And he'll say, no, not one. Listen, why did the walls of Jericho, we're going to be studying Joshua very soon, why did the walls of Jericho fall? They fell because of one thing, obedience. We trusted God. They did what God said, and the walls of Jericho came down. Amen? So, if we just know that the word of God is so proven, and you know what? We do have his strength tonight. I don't know that we really rely on his strength very much. I think we rely on our own strength. I believe there's a lot of religiosity in the church today. A lot of people going through the motions and playing like they're Christian, or, oh, they're Christian, but playing like they have it more together than they have it together. You understand what I mean? No. The Bible is so true. It says in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do how many things? I can do all things. That means I am ready. I am equal no matter what it is to anything that comes across my path. Why? For it is Christ who strengthens me. And that's present tense, continuous, meaning continuous, minute by minute, hour by hour, and so forth. We have what no other religion can give, and that's power within. We are self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Amen? Oh, how we need to know that God is our refuge. And look at this now, verse 2. Therefore, in other words, go back and see why you're there for. That'd be verse 1. Therefore, we will not what? Fear. That is a huge word today. Fear. We live in the most fearful, the church, we're not even going through a persecution, and the church is afraid of everything. You say, Bill, are you being critical tonight? No, I'm just an observation. It's an honest observation. Amen? There's so much fear, and I go, whoa, Lord. But and you know, here's the thing. Fear is natural to us, isn't it? I'm not beating anybody up if you're fearful. I'm just saying it's natural. Did you notice that when you were growing up and still today, no one had to teach you to fear. You knew. But you know what? You don't have to learn, but you have to learn faith. You have to learn to trust in the Lord. You have to choose faith. And you know, that's what's so difficult because see, faith, we look at it and say, well, I don't see how it's going to work. Well, you know, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Now, faith is the substance of things, what? Not seen. The evidence, yes, no. We say, Lord, I just believe your word. The word of God is our foundation. And we say, you said it, and that has to settle it in our hearts. We have to believe it, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through in our life. God is. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he that comes to him must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. And here's what's so wonderful about fear. Now listen to me. You know, it's easy for someone to beat up another about, well, you're just fearful. Well, you don't know the person's anxiety. Amen. Did you know that fear, you can feel fear? Fear is an emotion. You can feel it. It comes on you. You don't know where in the world is that coming from. Listen, did you know that God is alert to your fear?
He's so good to us. He's alert. He knows all about it. And you know what God knows? God knows that fear wants to be your boss. Did you know that? Fear is not logical, usually. Have you ever noticed that it's not logical? You say, I can't go over there. I'll give you a perfect example about, I don't know when it was, last week. And I was at the doctor and I was coming back home and there in the evening got off work to go to my house. Well, as I did, I had to really come nearly to a halt because there were two gentlemen walking right there in my roadway and their car was parked to the side. But when I got up to them, I knew that these two men were very, very violent, very evil, and would have no problem killing me. Now, may I tell you that I was fearful. I didn't know whether I should run over them. You know, I mean, I was trying to make an honest decision. Fear was saying, don't honk the horn, just hit them and go on. You know, I'm joking. But, you know, I knew they wanted to do damage. I knew they could do, and they would do damage to me. And so I made sure my doors were locked and got out my Glock, you know what I mean, and all those things. No, listen, you know, fear wants to be the boss. And here's what fear says to us, and what we really need to understand is that whenever we are in fear, fear tells us that we need someone bigger than ourselves. Amen? Because you're going, I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. I'm fearful. That's when you lie in the bed or lay in the bed at night and you wake up and you're worried about, you know, there's not any money in the bank account. And because money becomes, you see what I mean? Then fear takes over. It's ruling and reigning and all that anxiety. The Bible says in Psalm 56:3, it says, whenever, meaning in every circumstance, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. That's what David said. Whenever I am afraid, good times, bad times, whenever the storms of life, he says, I will trust in you. So is that our answer to every fear? I would say yes. But you know what really troubles me is that what David said, he says, I will trust in you whenever I am afraid. And so I look at that and I say, well, Lord, does that mean that faith or rather faith is fear transformed by an act of my own will? In other words, okay, I'm going to just trust in you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to be honest with you. I need God to help me with my, I will trust in you. Do you understand? It's so easy to say, oh, I trust in the Lord. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, when you get the doctor's report and all the other things in your life. But you know what? I'm going to tell you, your pastor, he needs help with, I will trust in you sometimes. I need to say, Lord, okay, I want to trust in you right now. But David said, I will. Would you give me that? Would you, like when David said, oh God, create in me a clean heart. Take out my old dirty heart and give me a brand new created heart. Get it away from me, Lord. I don't want to be a yo-yo believer anymore, David says. I want to be steadfast and immovable. Listen, sometimes you say, well, Bill, that's lack of faith. You know what I'm learning? I thought that I say this often now, but I'm learning that God has a way of taking us deeper when we don't want to go deeper. That God has a way of stretching our faith when maybe we've come to a point or in our age in our life when we don't really want our faith to be stretched much more. When we were thinking, Lord, shouldn't it be a little easier now? There are times all of us, when we're facing whatever we're facing, that we have to say, Lord, I will trust in you, and I want to trust in you, and I know that you're bigger than my problem, but for some reason, this fear is trying to hide you from me and hide my faith, and Lord, I want to change that. I want to choose what's right. We have to then go to the Word of God and believe it. Where it says, like in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Amen? He has not given us. But what has he given us? He's given us love, power, and a sound mind. Amen? That's what we really have. And that's why whenever we go to those fearful situations in our life, we've got to say, well, that spirit of fear didn't come from my father. No matter what, I see the problem, but I am not going to be afraid because that fear is not from my father. But I have a sound mind. I have a mind, a healthy mind that can determine and live and trust in the word of God. So therefore, he says, we will not fear. And watch this. Even though the earth be removed, hello, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though its waters roar, literally like a wild animal, and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And then he says, Selah. Now that's a musical notation probably for pause, but I always use it like this. Pause right there and think about what God's word just said. Amen. And just think about it. How extreme can it be? God is our refuge. God is our strength. And he says, don't worry. Listen, even though the earth be completely removed, would that be an extreme circumstance? Hello? I go, dear Lord. And you may say, well, Bill, I feel like the earth has been taken out from underneath me. Well, you have to say, but God is my refuge. No danger can get me. God is truly my refuge tonight. Let every mountain disappear, all of it, into the ocean. God says, I am your refuge in the midst of all this. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really, Calvary Chapel, do you really believe that tonight? Not just mental assent, not where you're just agreeing with it, but where in your heart of hearts, in the darkest moment of your life, you say, I believe. I believe, oh God, with all of my heart, even if all things will be removed, that I will not fear. Why? You know why? Because we have something waiting for us. We have a city waiting for us. Amen. See, God is not only our strength. God is not only our refuge. God is our security. Look at verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the what? The city of God, the holy place of the dwelling of the tabernacle, or dwelling place of the Most High. Now listen to me. Where is this kind of river? And where is this city located? You say, well, Bill, it's the earthly Jerusalem. No, that can't be right. Well, it's going to be in the millennial reign, the millennial temple. No, I don't think so. You see, is there a river through Jerusalem today? No, there's no river there at all. But I know where this river is. In Revelation chapter 22, that's there at the very last chapter of the Bible. Listen to what it says. It says in Revelation 22:1, and it says, and he, meaning the angel, showed me a pure river of water of life. Oh, the water of life, that absolute fullness of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. So this river comes right from the throne. You know, nothing can stop the flow of God's grace. Amen. No enemy can ever stop that. And so I look at that and I say, oh, wow. Hey, Bill, this right here, this is a literal river. And it makes that place glad. It causes it to have joy there in the city of God. And you say, well, Bill, that's just all symbolic. I don't believe so at all. You take the book of Revelation. How many times is Jesus Christ called the Lamb of God? The Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. What, over 20 times? I know, at least. But they're talking about our Lord and Savior, aren't they? And so when I look at this river, I'm thinking, Lord, I think I know what that river has to speak about. This river of life. It has to do, I think, with the Holy Spirit. You know, we can drink of that river right now, can't we? See, we can drink of that and be filled with the Spirit. As Ephesians 5:18, be ye filled with the Spirit. That's a commandment over and over, that infilling, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, with your power and so forth. We can drink of that river every day. We can drink of that river tonight. Jesus said in John 37, he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he spake this, it says, concerning the Spirit, from whose believing would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Heaven is a real place. If you've ever been to any funeral that I've ever preached, you know that I say that in every funeral. It's a real place. And I know this, everything, the reason that we can say God is our security, our refuge, our strength is because of this. Everything we have, everything that we are ever going to have will be found in heaven, not on earth. Amen. Oh, listen, we have treasures laid up in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. Our home is in heaven. Our reward is in heaven. And there everything is going to be new. Heaven is a real place. It is a literal place. God is our security. Matthew Henry said this, "He whose head is in heaven need not fear to put his feet into the grave." Amen to that. But do we really believe that? You know, we fear because we want to be in control. And we think if we're in control, that we're protecting. Listen, God is the controller of our destiny. Amen. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of our breath. He sustains everything on this earth. So, you know, we're in His hands. We like to feel like we're in State Farm's hands, but that's not very good. You know, no, we're in His hands. He's going to take care of us. He is going to take care of us to the last time we close our eyes to the moment we open them in heaven. Oh, God is so good. It says in Revelation 21:2, talking about this city. And then John says, "Oh, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." Well, this is a holy city. Oh, what security we have waiting for us. Holy city, free from sin, free from all contamination. Everyone in the city is going to be holy. Imagine that. Everybody is going to be holy. You know what? We're not going to even have a thought of sin. Think about that. Oh, you're sleeping. We've never lived without sin. It's going to be incredible. And people, you know, people are not excited about heaven, I don't think. And I go, oh God, listen, it's a prepared city. It's a city that Jesus said, I've gone away to prepare a place for you. He's prepared a place for each and every one of us. And it says there from Revelation where I just read that this city of God is a beautiful city. It says in Hebrews 12:22, listen, it says, but you, meaning Hebrew believers and us as well. He says, have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable or unlimited company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, meaning having our names written down there. The spirits of just men made perfect are declared righteous. I believe that city is already there. It is already there. And the new Jerusalem, talking about that place where that river makes glad the city of God. It descends, into that new universe or whatever, this literal city. I tell you, it's going to be something, because when we go home and we cross the finish line, that's where we're going to end up. A city of no mores. No more tears, no more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow. No more death. We've never lived without death. And I look at God and I say, oh, God is everything we need. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He's present with us right now. All of His power, all of His love. May I tell you something? I believe with all my heart that Christians are the most secure people on planet Earth. No one is secure as the believer. And look at verse 5. It says there that God is in the midst of her. And she, Jerusalem, that heavenly city, I believe, even though we're speaking, yes, of probably Jerusalem there in the tabernacle at that time, shall not be moved. God shall help her. And look when He helps her, just at the break of dawn. God is our security. You know what? He will never, you know, I always say, I have a saying, rats are the first one to jump ship. You know what I'm saying? God will never jump ship for Israel or for the church. God is our absolute perfect security because God is with us. There at the end of the great tribulation period, I wonder how close we are to the rapture and to the great tribulation. There at the end of the great tribulation period, you know as well as I do when Israel or Jerusalem is surrounded by the nations and so forth to destroy them.
there at the, right at the end when it looks like it's all over. Then all of a sudden, the second coming. Jesus is coming back. And we're going to be coming with him according to Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 and following. We're going to be returning with the Lord. And you know what's going to happen there? Jerusalem is surrounded. No one can help her, but God is going to help her. Jesus is going to come back right at the break of dawn, right when it was supposed to happen. God is never, ever late. And he says, oh, in the nations, the Gentiles, look at them. They raged and the kingdoms were moved. And he uttered his voice and the earth melted. You know, I believe that that's speaking there when it says the earth melted. Because, you know, we speak of nations and kingdoms. We're talking about people, okay? And so it says the earth melted. I believe it means the inhabitants of the earth. I mean, they melted in fear because of the Lord. He just spoke and it was done. So the kingdoms are all going to fall, but not Jerusalem. Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us, meaning God's on our side. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He is our high place. He is our fortress. Selah. Stop there and think about that. The Lord of hosts, the armies of God, the Almighty, the all-powerful, the commander of heaven's army. See, God is not only our refuge, our strength, our security, but God is supreme. Amen? It says, look at the next verse. He says now, this divine invitation, he says, come. That's for everybody on earth, all peoples everywhere. He says, come. Behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations. That word means to literally to evoke terror, if you will. It could even mean to stop the heart, you know, from such horrible things that are coming. So he who made desolations in the earth, somebody, as we've been praying, all of us, I know every Christian, I'm sure, in the nation is praying about what in the world is this, this ISIS? What are they doing? And you know, they say we're going to hang the black flag over the White House and all that kind of stuff. And I will say, well, you know, I'm not going to fear you, because I promise you this, you'll never hang your black flag over the Church of Jesus Christ, for we are forever triumphant. Amen. And I see, I really believe that. I can say that without any fear. I know that. I know that. There's some things that I'm going, Lord, I'm kind of fearful over here, but I'm going to tell you what. I know that. I know that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, anybody. The church is the only institution on this earth that is going to win, that's going to make it. So we don't have to worry about that. No, we don't have to fear ISIS. We need to fear God, because one day all people on this planet, God is supreme. He is the supreme ruler. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. It's better to do it now than then. Believe me. Because if you have to do it then, you're at the judgment seat. You're at the great white throne judgment. Oh, how people need to do that now. God is supreme and he will defeat every enemy. Look at verse 9. He makes wars cease. You know, don't you wish that was true right now? You know, do you ever just wonder, I mean, you think about, and I don't want to get political here, but let's just think about Putin for a minute. You know, I mean, over in Russia, and you go, what's wrong with you, guy? You drinking too much vodka? I mean, come on. I mean, listen, you're a president. You got your whole stinking place. You got the oil. You got everything. Why do you want little Ukraine? Leave them alone and just celebrate. Have a party. Eat some potatoes. Do something. You know? Give me a break. But no, we want to, you know, rattle our swords and sabers and all the rest of it and think that we're rulers and we're going to take over this and take over that. I mean, mankind hasn't learned anything. We just keep going on and on and on. And I say, oh, Lord. He says, listen, God, oh, look at it. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. Oh, that day when there will be a universal peace. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in two. In other words, every weapon is going to be destroyed. He burns the chariot in the fire. Think about it. No more killings. No more war. No more beheadings. No more man's inhumanity against man. No more starving children. No more refugees hiding out in caves and up in mountains and all the rest of it. But that's not going to happen until the Prince of Peace comes. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. I say, oh God, I can't wait. The government is going to be upon your shoulder. You're going to rule and reign in perfect truth and perfect righteousness. I don't know when that day's coming, but it has to be fast approaching. You know, Jesus, you know, he's not going to need any weapons of mass destruction or any of those things. You know what's wonderful to know, and this is a truth that you can put in your heart and you'll never, ever lose by doing it. We win in the end. And that's very important. It may not look like we're winning now, but we're going to win in the end. And so what does God tell us? Talking about fear. Talking about being afraid of things. He says, why don't you be still? I want you to just be still. I want you to take your hands off of the problem. I want you to relax your hold on the problem that you're facing. Just be still. Be quiet. Just a holy hush, if you will. And he says, listen, and I want you to know something. I want you to know that I am God. I want you to acknowledge it. I want you to recognize it. I want you to admit it. I want you to confess it, that I am God and I will be exalted among the nations. Why? He's the ruler. God is supreme. And I will be exalted in the earth. You know, we have to finally come to a point in our life to where we look at the problem. And we say, you know what, Lord? I'm just going to be still now. I'm going to take my hand off of it. Because I don't know what to do with it anyway. I don't want it ruling me. So I'm just going to look to you. I'm going to know that you are God. See, listen to me now. God is our refuge. He's our hiding place. He's our refuge that never, ever fails. He is the absolute. Listen, Jesus, we are so hidden in Christ, which denotes security. Hidden in Christ, okay, from Colossians. Listen, he is our absolute security. We are so secure in God our Father. And we are never, ever going to be without strength, even though at times you feel that you are. Because God is not only our refuge, he is our strength. He is more than that. He is our everlasting strength. And wherever you are, and whatever you're doing, and wherever you go in this life, God is there with you. He is there with you. When you woke up this morning, the God who never slumbers was right there with you. And whenever you drove, he came with you. He's going to go home with you. There is absolutely no place on earth that you can be away from his presence. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 139:7. He said, oh, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? You can't go anywhere. He's there with you. There's got to be great comfort in that. You know, when I saw the other gentleman who was beheaded, who knew the Lord, the first one, he was stoic, as was the second man. But I looked at his face before he was executed. Not that I saw the execution, nor do I ever want to see that. But I looked at his face, and you could see that, you know what? I'm going to win. You know, he was saying, I could almost feel him quoting scripture. Do not fear those that can kill the body, but fear those who can kill the soul. Amen. You know, and cast them both into hell. Oh, listen, he feared God. That guy's going to lose. That guy that did that's going down, man. It's all over with. You know, God says, I am everything you need. And he says in verse 11 again, he says, look, the Lord of hosts, the army of God, they're what?
is with us. Present tense, always with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Present tense, Selah. God loves us so much, he tells us one more time that he is ever present with us. We don't have anything to fear. Fear doesn't have to be our boss. You know, Jesus told us, as he told the disciples after his resurrection, says, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. He is with us now. You know, there needs to be, as we move and finish up this year, if the Lord tarries, that's probably the Lord for us right now. It's supposed to be a trumpet, man, not that crummy sissy ring, you know. And I'm just joking. Don't get mad. And if it was a strong ring, okay? All right. All right. Now I lost my whole train of thought. As we move now toward the end of this year, you know, the things in front of us, you know, our night of thanks will be coming up and all that. Let us not forget this is a year of fruitfulness. And we are so fruitful. God is blessing us. And we want to continue in that. I want to close with this psalm, if you don't mind. Psalm 100, and then we're going to pray. It says in Psalm 100, verse 1, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. All you lands, not just Israel, all the earth. He says, and watch this now, is serve the Lord with gladness. Well, don't, you know, God doesn't want you to, if you can't serve the Lord with gladness, don't serve him. Amen? Yeah. He says, oh, serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, here it is, he is God. He is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful. Say that with me. Be thankful. Let's not be a thankless Christian. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations, and we are that generation. Amen. Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you that, Lord, you are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our security. You are supreme. And Jesus Christ is Lord. And we praise you for that, knowing that he died for us and that he's coming for us one day. Lord, bless your people. They're the sheep of your pasture. Lord, help us to make that joyful sound before you. Let us come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts. Let us be thankful in all that we do. Let us be a church that is united, tender-hearted one to another, loving one another, even as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And God, fear. Let fear not rule in our hearts. Let not fear rule in our minds. And let not fear rule in this church or any of our lives. Let us be still and know that you are God. Let us, Lord, take our hands off the problem, the hands off that situation, Father, and say, Lord, it's yours. I trust you. I trust my refuge. I trust my strength. Your strength. I trust my God. Now we love you tonight. We praise you, O Lord. We praise you with all of our heart. We honor you in this place. In the mighty name, the strong Son of God, Jesus Christ, we pray that prayer. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen.